Okay, this is February 22nd, and the topic this week is You Are the Cause Unto Your Own Experiences.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is an opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I. It is the purpose of this teaching to make this essential truth of our being known to everyone. We must realize that we are gods and goddesses. We say that constantly. So hard for the mind to understand that we are. Not for you. Well, good. There's one person. He realizes it. So many people are hung up on that whole idea that that God is outside of them somewhere. That's been handed down generation after generation, and it's not true. God is outside, but God's also inside. God is everywhere, and you have to be part of the whole shebang. So there. With that said, I was going through my little cards that I have. We could do nothing but cards one of these days. I have thousands of them. When you lose touch with your inner stillness, you lose touch with yourself. When you lose touch with yourself, you lose yourself in the world. And that's what happens to so many of us. We don't want to get lost in this world. It's entirely too convincing. When we think all that stuff that the world's doing out there is real, it is not real, people. It's just a movie you're watching. At one with the presence within me, I tap into a higher consciousness. So you can always tap into that higher consciousness, because there is only one consciousness, and that's the consciousness of a God. We're all using that same consciousness. We're all using the one mind, the mind of God. How do we know that we're using the mind of God and that there's only one mind? We all see the same thing. If we had different minds, we'd be seeing something else. Each person would be seeing something else. But since there's only one mind and we're using that mind, we see the things. Make sense? Determine if your words and your actions match the truth of your inner thoughts. That's a hard one all the time. Determine if your words and actions match the truth of your inner thoughts. And you know those inner thoughts. And remember, the actions that you're doing has to match that. So many people don't do that. Every thought you have about yourself has an energetic component. Every thought you have about yourself has an energetic component. And that brings us back to our dear friend Emmett Fox in The Mental Equivalent. Because this teaching teaches you what you think about, you bring about. So it's done with your thinking, and we can change that thinking constantly. Even if your judgments are nothing more than thoughts, I urge you to change those thoughts immediately upon recognizing them. So change. You can have different thoughts. You don't have to live with them. Everyone thinks, oh, that thought belongs to me because I thought it. No. Thoughts are just going all over the place all the time. You just have to sort through them and say, I'm not going to think that thought. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be a puppet of my conditioning. I'm not going to allow the world to tell me how I feel. I'm going to do that for myself. Because the world is very convincing. It's a very convincing world we have out there. And we believe all that stuff that goes on. Most of it means nothing. When you become aware of silence, immediately there is that state of inner stillness. You are present. You have stepped out of thousands of years of collective human conditioning. thousands of years of collective human conditioning. And that's, we know perfectly well that we have been conditioned for thousands of years. If you look at the Pope and the Catholic Church and all the other churches and so forth, they've been telling you the same thing for thousands and thousands of years. The collective consciousness means nothing. You know, you have to start to think for yourself. Is this true? Is this not true? And you figure that stuff out for your on your own. All right, now let's get into the topic tonight of you are always the cause unto your own experience. It takes people, it took me years to understand exactly what that meant. That means you're always creating your own reality. You're the one that's doing it. There's nobody else out there. There's only you. And all the things that you think happen in your life, well, before I got into this teaching, I was a blamer. I blamed everyone else for everything that happened to me because it looked like that. But that's just an appearance. Now I realize I'm the one that's doing everything. So I remember that and go on about my life that I am the one that's having this experience. Why am I having this experience? Because of my thinking. Because of what I'm thinking, and I can change that thinking. I had somebody call me the other night to complain. I don't do well with complaints, but I listened. Now the complaint was no one is appreciating him, no one is doing this, no one is helping, no one blah 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 blah, and he's doing all the work, and why don't they notice, and yada yada yada. And then at the end of that he said to me, now what do you think of that, Dallas? I said, well, certainly it's not spiritual thinking. If you're expecting appreciation, you must know that you already have it. You do not go around wanting people to appreciate you and then get angry and mean when they don't and think there's something wrong. That's complete race mind, people. So you have to move up in consciousness to a different area so that you can think differently about it. Doesn't matter if you want to. And I said to the person, did you volunteer for this? Did you want to do it? Did you? Oh, yeah, yeah. I said, then why are you complaining? Why do you think you're not being appreciated? That is one of the biggest things in life and in this world. People do not feel that they are appreciated. You must always know that you're appreciated. This thing called God appreciates you, you know. And then I always remember, of course, Eleanor Roosevelt, who said, no one can make you feel inferior without your consent. And that woman, the little bit I know about her history and so forth, suffered immensely. You know, she was depressed most of the time because people did not treat her well. But she got over that. She said, I can get over this. Her mother-in-law said, well, with those teeth and that mouth, there's no future.
No future.
No future. With her teeth and her mouth, you know, but she got over all that. She said, I don't care what people say. I am not going to let them tell me how to feel and what to do. And she went on in life. She was a magnificent woman. I haven't read all the stuff about her, but she brought a lot into this world, and she was always for the downtrodden and the underprivileged people. It was wonderful, you know, what they said about black people during her. These were government people who said this. We never knew they existed till Eleanor found them. You see, it was one of those things out of consciousness. They weren't worried about that. She was the one who said, look, there are people here and we better do something about it. She was the one, you know, that had though in Washington they would not allow Marian Anderson to sing. Do you remember who Marian Anderson was? The great opera singer, black. Nobody in Washington would open up a hall to her, would give her anything. So I can fix that. She let her sing on the mall, the National Mall, where King had his million man march and all. So the woman got to sing, and it was Eleanor Roosevelt who said, "We're going to let her sing here." So you must realize that no one can make you feel inferior without your consent. So the person who was calling me on the phone wanted me, he says, "Isn't this right and isn't this the..." It's right if you're looking at it from that angle, from a race mind thing. I'm not being appreciated. In your life, how many times have you heard that from people? "Well, they don't appreciate me." You have to appreciate yourself. And it has nothing to do with other people. It has to do with you. And who cares if the other people appreciate you or not? You see, if you like what you're doing it, then do it, but you don't... So anyway, I said to the young person, I said, "You know, when you say things like that, it's nothing but your ego talking." "Really?" "Well, of course it's your ego talking. I want to be fed, you see. The ego always wants food. It's always looking what it can feed on. And it feeds on little things like, 'I'm not appreciated.' Then the next thing this person said to me, 'Well, you know, it's the principle of the thing.' I said, 'Oh, forget that. I don't know what that ever means in life. I've heard that all my life. It's the principle. I didn't get it.' So I told him to move up in consciousness and to like himself. And if he wanted to do that, to go ahead and do it. But don't think you're doing it because you need appreciation for it. There is no such thing. And you could give this person proper appreciation, he wouldn't accept it anyway because he doesn't think he's appreciated. You have to be appreciated." So, that brings us to the point that you are always the cause onto your own experience. It was his mind telling me he wasn't appreciated, this wasn't happening, they didn't like him, blah, 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 blah. Now, all you have to do is change and say, "I want to do this. This is the way it's supposed to happen. I'm delighted to do it. I enjoy doing the work and all." Now you've changed your experience. You've changed it by changing your mind. This thing of being conditioned all the time. We're conditioned by the world, and we're certainly conditioned by this thing called television. Because it shows you, if you watch it, it shows you how people are supposed to act. Well, you don't have to act that way. That's absolutely, you know, beside the point. You do not have to act like other people. You have to act like you are an emissary of this thing called God. You say to yourself, "I'm an emissary of light and love." And then you start to do that. That's the way you do it. So anyway, this person was able to change. And when he was able to change, his whole world changed. He no longer thought that he was being discriminated against. He didn't think that he was unappreciated or anything. Now, the thing I want to point out here also is, this person is a metaphysician. He's a metaphysician. And he can, all the tag words he knows, all that he knows. But you know he's not a metaphysician if he wants to be appreciated. If he wants to be appreciated. You cannot say that you're a metaphysician. You're looking for something outside of your own self. You're looking for people to give you approval. People don't have to give you approval. You have to give yourself approval. So, I'm always amazed how many people are in metaphysics or in this teaching, religious science and so forth, and they think they know it up one side and down the other. And then they come up with, I'm not being appreciated. You see, you can't do that to yourself. The world will tell you you have to be appreciated, but that's race mind. That's race mind. You do not have to be appreciated. It would be nice. Oh, it certainly is nice, but it's not necessary. It's not necessary. So when you're thinking all those thoughts that you're not being appreciated in this, that, and the other thing, you see, you're causing your experience. You're causing it. Nobody else is causing that experience. So you have to sit yourself down and talk to yourself and say, listen, this is not the way I want things to go. This is not the way things should go. So let's change it right here and right now. And this thing called higher consciousness will help you with that. So use that in your life, because you're always going to be the cause on your own experience. Nobody else is doing anything to you. See? If you think somebody's doing something to you, that you're inferior and so forth, that's your thinking. Don't let anybody put that kind of stuff on you. You decide who you are and what you're doing and where this whole thing is going. That's the way that you can always have the best of experiences. Now, I'll tell you the story about a cousin of mine. She never will listen to these tapes anyway, so I'll use her. And I think I've just told you the story before. Her mother is 98, I think, now. And the daughter has not talked to the mother in years now, because the daughter decided that the mother was jealous. I never wanted her to succeed, never wanted her to do this, that, and the other thing. And never really, and it boils down to, my mother doesn't like me. Now, if you ask her, why do you think that your mother didn't like you? She will say, because she put me in boarding school. So they didn't want me around. When we were children, we learned it. The cousin, Joni, was going to boarding school. We thought that was absolutely wonderful, because we thought you'd get a much better education in boarding school than you did in public schools. But she's bound and determined to think that her mother didn't like her. So therefore, she sent her off with her brother off to boarding school. I said, did you ever ask your mother why she did something like that? Well, no. Well, I asked. I said, Aunt Gunny, why did you do that? She said, oh, Dallas. She said, your uncle and I were starting up a new business, and we would stay at work very late, and I didn't want my kids coming home to an empty house after school. I wanted them to know that, you know, they had people around them and all. So that was all that's about, and this girl is carrying on. But now you see that Aunt Gunny likes her very much, but she's the cause of her own experience with her thinking. My mother never liked me. My mother never liked me. So there. Now the son, a different story altogether. He told me he didn't think his mother liked him because somebody, when he was young, said, you know that when your mother was pregnant with you, she wore tight clothing. That was that.
She did
wore tight clothing. You know, I guess sucked herself in. Well, he came out perfect, you know. It had nothing to do with that. So it's these little things in life. Somebody left that and it went right into his consciousness. You see? And he decided, oh, my mother doesn't like me. Now he's lived with that for years. But he's the cause under his own experience. It wasn't true to begin with. It was not true to begin with. And that's, you have to look at that stuff. You're always going to be the cause under your own experience, and that experience comes from your thinking. And you can change that thinking any time you wish. You can decide who you are and what you are and where you're going on your own. You do not need other people to tell you that. You know, I never listen to anything anyone says about me. And I'm sure people say, used to anyway, say horrible things. But you can't let that bother you. If you take that in, now you're causing that experience. You're the one that's causing it. All done with this wonderful thing we call our mind, and we have to learn how to control our thinking, how to control our mind, so that we can live the wonderful life that is here to live. You say, wonderful life. I mean, we have to do that ourselves. No one else can do that for you. It doesn't have to, all the trappings that people think. Oh, I need all this to be happy or to have a wonderful life. It's not true at all. They're nice to have all that stuff. But that isn't what counts. What counts is, how are you thinking about yourself? How are you thinking about other people? You see? I hear so many people say, well, you know how people are. And I always say to them, no, I don't know how people are. How are people? You know? Because they want to tell you that people are horrible, they're mean, they're devious, all that. No, that's, see, they're causing that experience. You're the one that's causing it with your thinking. You can think that somebody's horrible. We make all these judgments, and that's why it says, don't judge, you know. Don't judge. And I know my mind is a judging mind. All minds are judging, by the way. We're always judging something. I read years ago, when you have a judging mind, that's why you get tired. Because you're always judging. It wears you out, judging. But I watch it and I correct it nowadays. Years ago, I wasn't able to correct it at all. Because I was a conditioned person. I was a puppet of my conditioning. But now I see through all that stuff. And I realize I am the one that's doing it. I am the one that's caused everything that came into my life. And I can go back through my life and see the different times that I made horrendous mistakes. Horrendous. But I see now that I'm the one who caused all that stuff, you see. I used to smoke, and I thought, oh, this is wonderful. I'm a grown-up, you know. And everyone around me smoked. My parents smoked, and I could say, oh, I smoke because my parents smoke. My brother never smoked. So I was the one who made the choice. I was the one who did it to myself. The same way with drinking. I was the one who did the drinking. Yes, my father drank. But I did not have to go down that road. I did not have to follow that. There's a wonderful story about twins. One was an alcoholic and one wasn't. So they asked the one, they asked them both, why? But do you not drink? And the guy said, well, you know, I watched my father drink, and I made up my mind that I would never drink. He asked the other, and he said, well, I watched my father drink, and I made up my mind it was just like my father, and I drank. But you cause it yourself. You do that. And I hear so many people say, well, my parents always did this, that, the other things in that life. When you wise up, you realize you don't have to do the same thing your parents did. You don't have to go down that. You have a mind of your own. You do not have to do that stuff. You know, I don't care if everyone in your family does that. You don't have to do it. And we hear that all the time, don't we? My family always did this. My family always does it this way. Well, do you have to do it that way? No, you do not have to do it that way. You can make up your own mind how you wish to live. It has nothing to do with anything on the outside of life. It has to do with your mind and what you're thinking. What you are thinking. So correct all those things. It's sort of fun to watch your mind now. I mean, I have fun with my mind. I used to think my mind would drive me crazy. You see, because it never stopped to move all over the place. Now I can slow it down, I can stop it, and I can change. And that is the most wonderful thing to realize. I can change my thinking. Nothing is written in stone around here. We can change it. But yet we're taught that once you have those thoughts, once you do this and that, they're with you. No, they don't have to be with you. You see? This is a whole experience of living is to learn to see who you are, to learn to see who you are. This self-realization place, it's a wonderful thing. To be self-realized means, oh, I finally figured out I'm God. That's what self-realization, the teaching, is all about. Realize that you are this thing itself. That you are God. You see? That's what we want to do. And we want to use our minds. I had a friend when I was in ministerial school, Alice Toomey. I've told you many stories about Alice. Remember, she was the... Well, I don't know how old she was when I met her, but she had, her and her husband, she was Irish, had a bar in Brooklyn, an Irish pub in Brooklyn, and I forget how many children she had. Then when he died, she sold that place and decided she wanted to become a motorcyclist, so she bought a motorcycle. Then that wasn't enough, she decided she would become a lesbian. So then she became a lesbian. So she had a fabulous life, wonderful woman. And she used to say to me, Dallas, you must remember, nothing is happening to you. You are the happening. So anyway, Alice Toomey, when I knew her and she was in ministerial school with me, had become a house mother for some sorority at Barnard University, and they loved her because she had life experience. She had all that stuff, you see. But she knew how to do it, and she knew what she was doing, and she didn't let anyone talk her out of it or say, oh, no, you're too old, you're too young, and why do you want to be a lesbian or anything like that? She made it. Because she knew she was the cause unto her own experience, that it was her thinking that was doing everything. Her thinking was doing everything. And you cannot get past that, people. If you don't learn anything else, know that it's your mind that's doing it. And know that you can't blame anybody for anything because you're the one that's causing it. And we may think the other person caused me to think this way or that way. No one can make you think any thought you don't want to think. But we get lazy and we fall into that pattern because the world tells us that we have to blame other people, that we have to blame something on this. We certainly aren't that powerful. I'm telling you, you're as powerful as you'll never get to the point to that you realize how absolutely powerful you are. But at least start the process and know that you are powerful and that you can think any thought you want. So why wouldn't you think the best thought? Why wouldn't you think the best thought about yourself? You see? And so many people don't have any good things to say about themselves. If I gave you a list and told you to write down the 10 worst things you knew about yourself, you would have that finished in 3 seconds. But if I said, tell me 10 good things about yourself, you would sit there and contemplate, because you can't come up with 10 all of a sudden. You can always can come up with what's wrong with you. You can very rarely come up with what's right with you. And that is the conditioning of the world, people. You don't want to be that conditioned. You have to do it for yourself. And you can do it for yourself. So, know that you're causing everything. Everything that comes into your life, you are causing. I used to tell people, I take responsibility for everything good that happens in 100-mile radius of me. That's my consciousness doing that. And that's what happens. You have to know that. That you are the one that's causing everything. So now that you know that you're the cause under your own experience, you can change any experience in your life. And you can be happy constantly. I'm causing this. I am causing this. We don't want to hear that, do we? We don't want to take responsibility for ourselves. But we're causing it. Anything that happened to me that I could look at now that I can, in retrospect, look back, I see, oh, now I realize. I caused that. I was thinking this, 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 and this. So this cousin of mine, Joni, who thinks her mother is jealous of her and this, that, and the other thing, and has completely cut off all communications with her, she thinks she's justified in doing that. Justified in doing that. You're never justified in being mean to somebody. And you can say, oh, it's the principle of the thing, or they deserved it. No one deserves it. No one deserves it. That's all race mind telling you that people deserve this. You don't. We can't be mean to each other. We have to be nice. We have to be nice to each other. Try it. Try being nice. You know, my friend Betty, you often hear me talk about Betty. This is in college. She said to me one time, Dallas, you're very good at hurting. Why don't you try healing? And from then on, I got the point. I realized, because I was very sarcastic. I thought it was wit. But it wasn't wit at all. I was just downright sarcastic. You know, I could eat people up and spit them out before they even knew it. I had a friend that said to me once, Dallas, you know, you can put somebody in hell so quickly they don't even know it. But you did it. I stopped all that. I didn't want that type of personality. I didn't want that type of thing. So I changed my mind. I changed my thinking about the whole thing. This is what it's about. How do you want to be perceived? By yourself. How do you perceive yourself? You know, a lot of people think that they're mean and angry, and they hold that in, or they try to hide it. You don't have to hide that stuff. Get it out. Get it out so that you can move on there's something new and different and wonderful out there. You'll never do it holding all those old thoughts. You just can't do it. Be kind. If I had anything to teach people, it would be kind to each other. Be kind. That's all people want, you know, and what people need is kindness. We feel so much better when we're kind to people. So, be kind. But know that you're always the cause under your own experience, that you're doing it, that there's no one else out there to blame. It's a blame game. I grew up in a family that blamed everybody else, and I thought that's what you did. You know, it wasn't my fault. They caused me to do it. This happened or that happened. No. There's nobody to blame but you. And don't even blame yourself. Forgive yourself and say, look, I'm going to learn to think differently. I'm the one that's going to learn to think differently. And I'm going to learn to be kind to people. Because it's easy to be hateful and mean to people. That's an easy one. Finding kindness, you see, is the thing. I had a woman who was in her 80s. She was with Unity. She said to me, Dallas, you know, I understand that we're supposed to see the divinity in everybody. But she said, sometimes it's very difficult when they're acting like rotten son of a bitches. But she knew she had to see the divinity in them instead of stopping their that they were son of a guns, you know. You have to, oh well, that's the way they're acting. But underneath all that, there has to be the divinity. There always has to be the divinity, and we have to find that divinity in everybody. And we can do it, you see. We do it with our thinking, with our mind, and we stop listening to people who, or the world, who says people are doing this, that, and the other thing, you know. If we listen to everything that went on from that TV and the news and so forth, you would think there isn't an honest person on the face of the earth, that everyone is horrible. We can't think that about other people. We can't think that about ourselves. We always have to hold ourselves in the highest of esteem, in the highest of esteem, and realize that the wonderful power that we have, with that power, when I use that word power, I mean this thing called God, this thing called the universe. We can use it to better ourselves, to change ourselves. We do not have to live the life that our mind tells us. We can change that mind, that thinking, so that we do see and hold everyone in the highest of esteem, that we see this divinity everywhere, everywhere. So, you're always going to be the cause onto your own experience. Regardless of what's happening on the outside, it's how you're perceiving it, how you're interpreting it. And you know that you can change it. You can change it. If my cousin Joni would just admit that she made a mistake and that her mother loves her, that would be all over. Now she thinks, because of principle, that she's justified in doing this because her mother hurt her, now she's going to hurt her mother. Now, you know, in this teaching we do not believe in karma. But I happen to believe in karma. I know it's going to come back and grab her one of these days, and she's not going to know why. But you cannot be mean to people and get away with it. You just can't. And how she can get up and feel good about herself when she has that all that garbage going on about her mother is absolutely beyond me. Absolutely beyond me. So, see what you can do with your own thinking, how you can change it, and how you can make the world a better place to live in. That's what it's all about. People are so afraid they're not going to leave anything behind. Leave kindness behind. Leave generosity behind. That's all you need. You don't need to leave $3 billion behind and say, well, that's my life. Look, I really had a great life. I know a lot of people with a lot of money and they're miserable. Miserable, miserable people. You see? Money doesn't solve the problem. It just makes it your problem more luxurious as you're going through it, you see. It's all done with your thinking. It's done with your mind. And you can change it anytime you want. So, change it so that the experience that you're having is the experience that you want. It's done with the mind. It's done with perceiving things differently. Many times you can change by learning the truth of something. People live in a falsehood. And they think that that's real. When they find out the true reason, it goes away. It goes away. So, keep your mind stayed on the truth. I told you years ago, before I got thrown out of the Baptist church, they had a wonderful... I'd go out the back door of this church, down on the wall, it's still with me today, and it said, "He whose mind is stayed on thee will have perfect peace." He whose mind is stayed on thee, stayed on God. Keep your mind stayed on God. You see, I often say, now how would God handle this? You see, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with asking that. If we have this God, why don't we use it correctly? Why don't we use it correctly? So, use your mind, people, and know that you are the cause under your own experience, and it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you.